Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know in life's situations that it is not always easy to give praise and thanks and to show hope. But that's a part of what we do when we have our spirit renewed in Jesus Christ. We think about the things that are good. We think about things like the youngsters who are excited over baby chicks that are a few days old, or the adults that are excited over a newborn child, and those with a few years behind them are excited over a new grandchild. And I understand that the angels are thrilled when there is a new born-again believer. Also, if God looks upon his creation with love, I suppose that he has excitement when a believer obeys his commandments. I find these kinds of things are joys. They're exciting still. And yes, I get excited over a great piece of candy or a chocolate, but the depth of excitement is different for each one of these things. Yeah, how beautiful it is that we get to experience newness. And the old familiar things, like people, or the things that we enjoy, well, in our day-to-day experience in life, there can be a struggle to find the right balance between the joy in life and the concerns that we have about life right here, right now, or even the concerns that we have about the future. So it's a question of finding our own individual balance. Almost 100 years ago, there was a best-selling book called Pollyanna. It was about a woman who had irrepressible optimism, and she found good things in everything. She was unreasonably optimistic about everything. And then not long after that book came out, and it was a best-selling book too, but not after that, along comes World War I. And there was also the Spanish flu at about the same time, which hit America and the rest of the world. My dad was young at that time. He told me about the wagon that went down the streets to collect the bodies of those who had died from the Spanish flu. There were more people dying than the funeral homes could handle. So to deal with that, they had bodies placed outside at the curbside, and the wagon came by to collect those bodies. Wow. So hard to grasp how anything like that could happen. But it did happen. That was the Spanish flu outbreak of influenza in the United States. There were 675 people. Whoa, whoa. 675,000 people who died from it. And worldwide, there were over 50 million people who died from that influenza. And that was about the same time as World War I. Yep, the influenza virus killed about 675,000 U.S. citizens. Now compare that with World War I, which killed 116,000 U.S. citizens, soldiers. And of these 116,000 soldiers that died, over half of those deaths were due to the Spanish flu influenza. The numbers are 53,000 deaths were by combat of those soldiers, and 63,000 deaths were due to the influenza. Again, 116,000 World War I United States deaths. And that compares to, again I'll say, 675,000 deaths from influenza in the United States. Yeah, it's just so amazing how so many people could have died from that. And that is right If you compare that with the figure that the people who have died in U.S. war, why, it's just an amazing thing to consider the vast numbers. There were, again, 675,000 from influenza, and that is right next to 620,000 deaths from the American Civil War. And how about from all the other wars combined? There were 644,000 deaths from all the wars combined except the Civil War. So it's just one of those things. Where do we consider our risks to be in life? And I think that sickness, illness, influenza is real. And back in the Middle Ages, there were other things that killed people too. Of course, the Black Plague is so well known. But there was also cholera and various diseases that affected the intestines and bowels. So what do we do about this? The best thing I think we can do is to maintain our good health. That's what we want to do. Well, we know that, but we also know that we want what we want, and it seems like we are not willing to give up our own special little habits that we have that just kind of make things complicated in our own bodies. Oh, just think of what we're doing with that decreases our health. Just a little bit, you know, like coffee or cola or like smoking or drugs. And I mean drugs that are illegal as well as drugs that are legal. They're called pharmaceuticals when they're legal. Well, these concentrated substances can have big effects on our body. And we all have to answer these questions for our own self, because we always have risks that we do, whatever it is we do. And we have to make judgments about how things will or might affect us, and then what we actually do. And I certainly don't want to make any decisions for you. It's just I bring up these things as points to ponder and consider. Because I do wonder about lots of things. I wonder about society. And, here's one I wonder about is how as a society we are passing our wealth on to the next generation. Is that something we are doing? Well, I'm kind of concerned that as a society, we're not passing wealth on, but instead we are spending so much of the assets that we have, so much of our wealth, on the end of life, like health care. And that is just so we can have a few more months or a few more years of this life experience. Oh, where typically we're so busy going to doctor appointments and having hospital experiences, all the while our life savings are being extracted from us. Well, we all have these things to consider, and everybody considers them in their own way. Yeah, I know that there's a lot more to look at than what I just said. It's a complex matter, but I guess if you don't look, you don't see, and that's what I do. I bring up things for everyone to examine so that you have a chance to look at it with a little bit of perspective. So these were some pretty deep thoughts, some pretty serious experiential thoughts. So maybe this is a good time for a 2-minute musical interlude. Yeah, I know, but I don't have any music, so I'll just continue. And you know that I like history, and I see historical patterns. That's just the way I do things, the way I look at things. It's kind of fun for me, actually, but these historical patterns are pretty plain for me to see, that we should all be prepared in some ways or another. So I say get prepared. And I mention these things like the Spanish flu or influenza. Yes, it was in the United States, but it was also over the whole world. Big thing, big thing. And at right about at that same time, World War I happened. Well, right after that, there was another thing that happened in our society. Now I'm talking about history, so here I go. It was in 1920, there was a recession, and it made for some pretty big losses by a lot of people. It made hard times. 1920, it ended in 1921, and then what happened in the whole nation? The banks flooded the country with cash, and it was just so easy to get a hold of some money. The credit supply was expanded greatly. There was lots of credit everywhere, and you know that made the roaring 20s, and it seemed like everyone was getting rich. Well, sort of they were. A lot of people got rich in the roaring 20s. And then what happened was there was the crash of 1929. And a part of it was because the banks would no longer make easy loans for all the things that the people wanted to spend their money on. You know, to buy stocks, that was a big one. To buy cars, to buy anything else. And without credit, well, it just made changes. It even made changes to the basic living things, like farmers. They couldn't buy the seed stock that they were in the habit of going to the bank to buy. They would get a loan to buy seed stock and to plant a crop. And there were these things that happened, and then credit tightened up, and our nation fell into the Great Depression of the 1930s. And that lasted 12 or 25 years, depending on how you count it. And then World War II accounted for a part of the recovery, and yet not everybody would agree that it was World War II that brought us out of the Great Depression. But we'll leave that for historians to debate. Well, the Great Depression was a very seriously bad time. So many people lost their jobs. So many people lost everything that they had. And there was starvation. It was bad. One study says that there were 7 million people who died of hunger during the Great Depression in the United States. Yes, and today there are those who won't even consider that that happened. They just discount any reports that doesn't agree with what they want. But from what I can tell, it is true that there were 7 million Americans who died from hunger during that Great Depression of the 1930s. I've talked with many people who lived through that Great Depression, and I firmly believe that there were indeed 7 million people who did die from hunger during that Great Depression of the 1930s. And like I said a minute ago, I do look at historical patterns, and I do say that things are just, well, they're plain for me to see, but not everybody agrees with what I see or the patterns that I see, and that's okay. It's good to have discussions and even polite disagreements. So I see it coming, but the timing, no, I don't get the timing of it. I just don't understand it. But I do see the possibilities as having the possibility of happening any time now, just any time. Sure, it could be in a couple of weeks. It could be in a couple of years. I really don't get the timing. But consider, what would we do if? What if? And like I said, 7 million people died from starvation from the Great Depression of the 1930s. So that's something that we can think about. What do we want to do to prepare for that just in case? And again, I'll say, like I've said, the books I've read make it clear that there was starvation. The people who I've talked to also say that. Sometimes in the 1930s, the farmers would grow the crops, and they didn't have the money to ship it to the market. So all sorts of complications were going on. What did the farmers do then? They couldn't do anything. They had to leave it in the field to the food to rot. And all while people were literally starving, they didn't have the funds, or the shippers didn't have the funds somehow to get it to the people of the United States. So, yeah, could it happen again? Definitely. And whatever the direction of your thoughts and concerns, please don't think that serious troubles cannot happen right here. They can, right here, right now, today even. And just give it some consideration about what if. Right now there's quite a few people, high-level people, who expect to see serious troubles. And I mentioned some of those on the July 28th, 2018 broadcast of Christ Today. If you want to listen, go to www.christtoday.org, July 28th, and that was in the first 5 or 10 minutes of it. And I named the high-level money managers and money people who saw that this could happen like any time soon now. So they are warning, there are people who are warning that a huge crisis could come any time. And they did. I did tell you when on that broadcast they thought it was coming. So look it up and see what you think. It's, as I said, in the first 5 or 10 minutes of that July 28th broadcast. So here we are in the United States of America today, the strongest and freest nation in the world. Hooray for that! And I mean it. And there are plenty of people, though, who are familiar with the economics here. And they recognize that there are huge potential difficulties. And I guess I would say just realize that there are people who see this, that there could be very significant difficulties, and then make a little plan for it. Because here we are in the United States, the strongest nation among many nations that are having troubles. But troubles are all over the world economically. Oh, not just economically, but also from a social aspect. So I expect us to see a worldwide economic situation. You could call it a depression. And that's what I expect to see. And we just might have a new world currency after that, backed by the United Nations, World Bank, or the International Monetary Fund, again, United Nations. That's what I could see happening, because there are forces at work that we really don't quite see. They're not easily in sight. So have a look at it. Get prepared, I say. The timing of these things, nope, I don't understand. Everyone has ideas, and the more we think, the more we talk about it, the more we learn as we examine these questions. And I strongly rely on historical patterns. And many people today are looking back at that 1929 crash and the Great Depression of the 1930s and following. And they're trying to figure out, how does this make a difference for our future? Because patterns repeat. So often people who look at this identify the conditions that existed right before that Great Depression. And you know what? They are seeing similar conditions today. Yes. And so many of the people today are recognizing that one of the factors was bankers. At that time, in 1929, the bankers were calling in their existing loans. And they could do that because that's the way loans were structured at that time. They could call the loans back. And then they would no longer extend credit, and the people who had borrowed the money from the banks, they couldn't do anything. They were in a very difficult economic position. So that's at that day, their loans were short-term, and that's what happened. Anyway, the banks who extended the credit were a part of the problem at that time, and the people who accepted the credit and the loans, they were a part of the problem. And I have to say, there's a similar situation going on today, just as there was prior to the 1929 crash. Sure, it's different, but there are similarities, and that is what is leading many people to say, we could have it happen again. Yeah. Here's a true story. About a month ago, I was visiting a small church. And, you know, small churches are different from big churches. They're way different. Well, the pastor had just spoke about people's financial struggles right now in these days. And then he said, now raise your hand if you're having financial difficulties or if you are wondering how you're going to pay back a loan. Yeah, can you imagine? Well, anyway, the pastor did ask that, and here's what I was surprised at, that 85% of the people in the church raised their hands. That surprised me. Yes, so we are in a position where we could have difficulties financially again. So it's just too obvious. I mean, I knew about it before, but that example at the church just showed me again. Yeah, we can have problems. So get your finances in order. You don't need to have these loans outstanding that could really be difficult in the future. We don't want to have another 1929 event or the 1930s type of depression. It could happen again today. And the reason I say that is because of this. There was a law at the time made in 1933 after the collapse as the depression was continuing. It was called the Glass-Steagall Act of 1933. And you know what they did? In 1999, they removed that law. It was a safety net for people. It had a structure of financial monies that had to be kept in a certain way in money institutions. So it was placed in 1933 and it was removed in 1999. Oh, our government. Whew. Well, anyway, I do see that as a little safety to keep a depression away from us. But it's gone now. At that time, the banks were, some of them were in a panic mode, and what did they do? They switched one fund to another fund, and for instance, they would pay their rich clients who had money in the bank, but they took the money from the poor who had bank accounts in their bank. That did happen, and it was unjust, and that's why that 1933 Glass-Steagall Act happened, so it wouldn't happen again. That meant the big investors did not lose their investments, but the little investors did lose their savings accounts. People went bankrupt. My mother was one of those people who had several hundreds of dollars in her savings account. The bank went bankrupt, and she lost it all. At that time, it was called the Bank of Italy, and that was later reorganized and became the Bank of America. She wasn't even Italian, but the bank promoted itself as being a very strong and a very secure bank. So, I guess the moral of that story is don't believe everything you are told, don't believe everything you hear. Yeah, haven't we learned that lesson before? Well, anyway, back to 1933. Congress passed that law, and it kept it so that the different families of funds within a bank could not be mixed with other families of funds within that bank. So, if one bank fund was losing, it kept the bank loss the fund loss only in that fund. And that made a checking and savings account a whole lot safer for the ordinary citizen. Yeah. So, things are changing. In 1999, it was the ex-President Clinton and Congressman Graham who lobbied heavily to repeal that 1933 Glass-Steagall Act, and they were successful at it. So, we, the people, have lost another layer of protection. What does that mean? Oh, we'll see. I don't know. Our nation's banking is just one of the concerns that we have in life before us. There's many other concerns, lots of things, and we just get to figure it out and see where do we want to put our time and attention. We have trouble to discern things because the information we get is often incomplete. It is often one-sided, and we must just try to understand what it is that's in front of us. And I think one good idea is to ask God to reveal things to us. I think that's the best thing we can do. We can get the general sense of how things are. We can recognize the problem, but we still need help with things. What is the problem? Having enough good information? That's one. Let's see. And also not to let your prejudgments get involved with the issue at hand. Too often we remember things from the past that do not apply, but we still let them get involved in our discernment and our decisions. Well, I think the third thing, which really is the first thing we want to do, is invite God into our understanding and the decision-making process. We could sure save ourselves a lot of trouble if we did that. Well, look at the world, look around you, and do what you can. I think last week I talked about Martin Niemöller, and he was that Christian Lutheran pastor who lived at the time of World War II in Nazi Germany. And he wrote that poem. That poem goes, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Well, this week I thought about this quote because I was thinking about what's going on in our social media. You know, our internet communication and media like Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and the Apple platform. I thought about how this community, with their thoughts and ideas, they sometimes seem to act in unison, and that's what they did in general about a week ago. They spoke out against a broadcaster. So I think the bias is clear. It's obvious, and it's clearly orchestrated to have acted. They have acted in unison. You could call that a conspiracy even, because they did act in unison. Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple platform, all on the same day they removed that guy called Alex Jones from all his communications, and they took down his, what are they called? I forgot what they're called, but their communications on his InfoWars and his news stations. So it's not that I even listen to his shows very much. I don't. But he does have some good ideas that are interesting and valuable. But what happened to free speech? That's what I want to notice. What happened to free speech? A group of media elites have decided that he no longer has the right to put information out there. And he didn't even have, I think he had one strike against him. But the point is they did this in unison. And so I thought about that Niemöller poem or writing, that what happens when you don't speak out? If you don't speak out, well, then they came for him, and there was no one left to speak for him. And that's the point that I want to say. Sure, we have something going on. Is it a conspiracy? It sure looks like it, and it's not a right-wing conspiracy. It's a left-wing conspiracy. And here we are. We want to preserve our freedom. We want to preserve the society with all the freedom that it has. Real freedoms, we want to see them preserved. And we had this loss of freedom going on. It was an underlying movement, and that started out in 2016 in a way. That's when it became obvious, because our ex-president Obama gave away a significant control of the internet to the ICANN. It is an international body, and it stands for Internet Corporation Assigned Names and Numbers. And apparently there's 162 countries, and each one of them is represented. And these are government people. They're not corporations. They are not free people. They are government people who represent each nation. And you better know that there are more countries in this world that want to restrict our communication and our internet than there are ones who advocate for a free and open internet. So, what road are we going down? We just might be drastically limiting our communication, our freedom, our internet. And let me just remind you one other thing. There was the Apple platform in China, and it just, a week ago or something, 2 weeks ago, let its database be made available to the Chinese government. And that Chinese government, that means a communist Chinese government, don't forget that. Now the government can easily discover who might be supporting a free and open democratic type of political movement within that country of China. See, democracy is illegal there. It is cracked down by the secret police, and those secret police certainly visit people and intimidate them. Those people who are visited, they recognize that they could easily end up in jail for a while. That's just the way those countries are. They also, those people who are visited, could have their right to travel withdrawn. And travel, I mean, that just means a bus pass. Because in that country, everything is government controlled. If you want to travel on the bus, you need a bus pass. And the government gives it to you or doesn't. So that's one thing that could happen. Or those individuals could lose their job, since every job in China must be approved by the Chinese government. See, that's just the way it is. That's the way these restricted countries do things. Sure, you can call them communists or fascists or different forms of government, but the point is they put restrictions on their citizens. Doesn't that just remind you of that concept where you've heard, show us your papers? And on the spot, you do have to show your papers to the authorities, or you'll be arrested or detained, put in a cell right on the spot. And they don't have bail that you can make either. Once you're in their jail, that's where you stay. These authoritarian governments, that's just the way they are. People who have traveled to those countries know that. I've known people who have traveled to those countries, and it's not a pretty picture, unless you're one of the travelers who they're trying to promote, the rich Americans who will spend their money in that other country. Just the way it is. And that's the system that we have right in front of us. freedom. We want to keep what we can. And by the way, for all you gun guys out there, if there ever is civil unrest in our country, no stores will be allowed to sell bullets at all, not to mention guns. It just, everything is no longer available. Not to civilians, anyway. No, nothing is. No bullets or anything. Only police will be allowed to buy bullets. That's just the pattern that has gone in other countries and in this country. I mean, you just look at the Los Angeles riots or times of civil upheaval, let's call it, a natural disaster even, and you can't buy a lot of things. And so the cops run out of bullets too, and they can't, sometimes they haven't been able to buy them, especially if the emergency lasts more than a few months. Oh, it's all very interesting. We have things going on. Hey, I just heard another story that, not just, but a couple of weeks ago I heard this, about Afghanistan. Speaking about guns and bullets, the guns can be available in Afghanistan, but the bullets, they might cost $10 for one bullet. I just thought that was interesting. Yeah, I don't know, but I do pay attention to the stories I hear, and I remember them. That's one of the things about my life. I remember things about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever the time. And so I bring them up, and I try to incorporate them into life today. So I hear stories, and sometimes I remember them and tell you. Anyway, please appreciate every single freedom that you have in the United States of America. And pray for this nation. Pray for the support of biblical righteousness all across our nation. Maybe pray for capitalism too. I think that's worthwhile. And remember to love other people, because without love, well, I think things deteriorate. Now, if everybody had love, I suppose we wouldn't even have hate speech. We wouldn't even have violence. I mean, we would be understanding, and we wouldn't want to hurt anyone. We wouldn't want to offend anyone if there was an abundance of love in the land. And I don't mean that kind of love that's affection. I mean the kind of love where you care about the well-being of another person. And to me, that means the well-being of their eternity. Where are they going to spend eternity? Yeah, things are changing in our country, and we want to stand up for righteous freedom. Here's a story that I heard from a retired cop, and he told me that when he was a rookie in 1968, there were the Los Angeles riots going on. I don't know if you remember them, but I do. And he saw a lady who was arrested because she shouted the F word. And you see, at that time, shouting profanity into a crowd was illegal. Maybe it still is, but it's done all the time. So you see how our society has really changed. Arrested for shouting the F word. 1968. So you'll have to tell me, do you think the country is getting better? Or do you think the country is getting worse? Oh, boy. I don't even know the answer to that. But I know that we do want to preserve whatever freedoms we can. We want to have freedom. And it's a little bit of a difficulty when we try to figure out freedom for what? Freedom to do good or freedom to do bad? What about the freedom to cuss? Or blocking somebody's way on a sidewalk? I mean, you just have to apply these things, what they mean to other people, what these freedoms mean to you. And I have to ask, do we want the freedom to live a wholesome life and to do good? That would be wonderful. Freedom to do wholesome goodness. Yeah. Well, today we do have that freedom, and let's keep doing it. Do and support the freedoms that you have, and that is in a good and loving way, whenever you can, and do it safely. Yeah. I've heard it said that if you are not objecting to someone's bad words or bad behavior, you are supporting it. Well, I guess I'm just going to let you deal with that one and figure it out for yourself. I do think of Proverbs 22:6, and it says, "Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Oh, boy. Oh, how are people being trained up these days? It's very interesting. Our youth is, different from what it used to be. And sure, we can blame it on the schools, and we can blame it on the parents, or sure, why not the grandparents? Oh, we could blame it on anybody. But we do have to recognize this is the way it is in our country. We are having troubles. You can come to whatever conclusion you like about it, but recognize this is the way it is. So right after that, Proverbs 22:6, there's Proverbs 22:7, and it is the borrower is servant to the lender. Yeah, maybe I should have said that one when I was talking about the Great Depression a few minutes ago, because, well, anyway, it got to be spoken now. The borrower is servant to the lender. We've seen examples of this all through the ages. In recent years, too. How the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. Yep. And go back a little bit. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. Well, all these examples pertain to the themes that I so often talk about. And I think, yeah, stand up for God's goodness and pray for it as often as you can. Make every effort to live a holy life. Because God is holy, heaven is holy, and I think if you want to get to heaven, if you live a holy life, you will fit right into heaven, a holy place. Yeah, so be prepared for that life after this one. Live holy. I think that's a good idea. Be prepared. Be prepared for life here on earth. We need to survive the hard times, and that is a historical reality. Hard times, that's what our ancestors did. Going back all through time, we see hard times have come about. And we want to show loving kindness to our neighbor also. Remember to provide for your own. That's what 1 Timothy says in 5:8. If any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there's examples. And all different examples, read the Bible. And there's one example is about people helping other people, assisting the poor, giving charity, and the widows. That's just plain old Bible. Look into it for yourself, and yeah, you can see that you want to be responsible for yourself. But you also, in your lifetime, you do, and with your soul, you do. But you also want to have compassion with other people. As you spend time with people in heaven, it's good, you know, after this life. But live according to a way that, well, you will fit right into heaven. That's what I think. Get to heaven, not that other place. Well, there's lots of signs and indicators that today we are at the end of the age. We see a lot of directions for this, and we can see that the end of the age could be just any time now. And sure, on one hand, many people agree that the end of the age is near, and, or maybe it's right here. And then there are those who say that, but they won't do anything to prepare for what could be coming. And, you know, there's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and they all point to famine, earthquakes, and war. That's what they say is coming, famine, earthquakes, and war. So do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what it says is true? So if you do, what point are we at? Is this the end of the age? And what should you do? Prove it. Show that you believe with your actions. So yeah, get store some food. That's the one thing we can do something about pretty easily. And I know there's people who say God will provide, and that is true. It does say that just plenty. There's different things for different situations. I know you can look at Matthew 6:26, and then later in that same chapter, 6:31 and 32, it says that God will feed and clothe you. But when is he talking about? Does it make it true for all time, or just for the time that was being addressed? Well, I think that that's worth a study, and so I suggest you look. Have a look! Figure it out, because your future depends on it. That is the future here on Earth, and how your comfort level is as you get hungry or don't. So, yep. So you want to be prepared to for whatever's coming, and that includes the kingdom of heaven. And I think you have to be careful what you hear and who you believe. And do I have a real answer for that? No, I really don't. But I know there's people who say a whole lot of things that don't seem to agree with what seems to be applied by the Bible in this time frame. It might be someone on the radio. It might be a pastor or a priest. It could even be the Pope. You know, the Pope says things too. And he was saying the other, well, let's see, 2013 is one. Once he said right along this line, and also this year, 2018, he said something about atheists could go to heaven if they followed their own conscience. Well, I want to tell you that's not what the Bible says. So make sure that you do your own study and you figure this out, because you're the one who's going to be responsible for what you know and what you do. Read that Bible and have confidence in the Word of God, not what you think, not your opinions, not someone else's, not even if they're an angel. No, make sure that what you are saying and believing lines up with God's Word, the Bible. And surely there are always things that distract us from our study, from our acting in a good and godly way. That's just the life. That's the life we live. That's the life around us. It's the world. And we want to be careful that we don't get too distracted from everything going on around us. Focus on God and His Word. Focus on God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So try not to get distracted, even if you have some real things in your life, real issues. Maybe you have an injury to your body or a physical condition, or maybe you have something like a disagreement with your spouse. There's lots of things to distract each one of us. Or we could go to the international scene and examine the missiles. Like, why is North Korea restarting its missile-building program? And what about Iran? It has a nuclear missile program also. And you know, Iran has troops stationed 53 miles from Israel's border at the Golan Heights See, things could happen in short order. Surely, even a Middle East war could erupt. It could happen quickly. We have troubles all over the place. Don't be distracted from God. But there are troubles. There's money situations going on. Oh, some people say in Italy, and that's kind of true, but definitely in Greece, or South Africa, and certainly Venezuela. All these people, I don't mean people, all these countries are going down a path that is similar to Zimbabwe. You know, the Zimbabwe money is so unstable that their currency, the citizens don't even use it. They use the currency of other countries. They prefer to use foreign banknotes because they're more stable. And that's what they do when they transact business. When they're buying a cow or getting a hotel room or even buying a house or a car, they use foreign currency because it holds its value. It's more stable than their own Zimbabwean currency. So that's what happens when things really get unstable. Could that happen here in our country, the United States economy? I don't think so, but it could get unstable in a different way. And that's why I think it makes sense to have some other assets, not just U.S. dollars, because among currencies, I see the whole world is losing stability in its monetary system. But the United States dollar is still the strongest among weak and unstable currencies. So the U.S. economy is doing real good right now. But what will happen in the future? There's a lot of people who say a crash is coming. And again, I say, look at that July 28th program, the first 5 or 10 minutes of it, and you will hear people who talk about just that. If you want to look it up, go to the www.christtoday.org website, all lowercase, no spaces, and you'll be able to touch on that date and listen to it. I give their who says what, the position that they have, their projection, and their timing. It is very interesting. People see difficulties coming. They might not be right, but then again, something could happen even sooner than what they're projecting. So who knows? And you know, I've talked also about precious metals. I don't sell anything like that. I don't have any kind of business. But I do suggest having some silver. That's a good idea. There is 1 ounce, 100% silver coins. And I think that can be considered an insurance policy. So get a little bit, and that way you have something that holds value if there is a currency collapse or the economy turns real bad. So those are my thoughts. I think about that sometimes and talk about it. Yeah, we do have things going on in the world, and Iran has threatened to close shipping lanes in the Hormuz Strait. And there's also people who say that they are going to stop the shipping that passes through, off the coast of Yemen. That's south of Saudi Arabia. Another shipping lane where the oil comes out of to the rest of the world. So our oil supply could stop rather quickly if that were ever to happen. Situations can change rapidly, and that's the thing that I think bears a consideration. There has certainly been antagonism between Iran and the United States and even other countries, and there is other things that could happen. I think cyber warfare against many levels of society is possible in the United States. It could happen against our government or our utilities or the banks or corporations. There's a great opportunity for cyber warfare to be very destructive. Oh, and that's not for sure. It's just one of the possibilities. And what happens then? Well, you better get your supply of the plain old ordinary things, like batteries or shoes or groceries or gasoline. Just have a little bit on hand for that, just in case. Because if we have something that lasts weeks, weeks can turn into months, and months can turn into years. If you are concerned about that, get a Bible and a shovel, because we're going to have to learn how to use both of them as we deal with death and difficulties. There are just too many possibilities. So consider the possibilities and what happens if you have no preparations. There are just too many things going on. I mean, we see the forest fires. That's a question of how they get started, who starts them. Get a little insurance. Sure, fire insurance, theft insurance, car insurance, life insurance. Oh, there's insurance. Get some food insurance. If you have silver coins, that's another form of insurance. But get food and water insurance. That's something you can always use at some point or another. It can be stored and used. And the amount of comfort that you get from having those supplies, well, it's good. And you just want to have your preparedness lined up for the just-in-case situation. Who knows what it'll be, but it is worth having those supplies. Remember that there's tensions going on in our country. Tensions between the political situations and tensions between, well, just so many different areas. So I say, get a little prepared. It can only do you good, because you'll have the comfort of having those preparations. It's a good thing. You don't have to do much. Do a little bit if you can't do a lot. Do a lot if you can. But for more information about preparedness, you can always write me and get my free preparedness brochure. Or you can have another question. Maybe I could answer that for you too. But send a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I'll send you a pamphlet right back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So, think about all the things going on and have a little preparedness. Remember to turn to God, because He's the one who really protects us. Until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.